are bold, we are strong, we're walking in faith and victory. For the Lord our God is in us, he's with us, his Holy Spirit is in us and leads us. How can we not be walking in victory? We're going to be going back to the book of Acts. We're going to do Holy Spirit highlights from the book of Acts, part 5. We're going to be looking at visions, focusing on the visions. The prophet Joel said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and men servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." So far, we've focused a lot on the prophetic aspect, the prophecy, especially the prophetic gift of sharing the testimony of who Jesus is to see souls saved. We know that prophecy does involve prediction and forecasting future events of the kingdom of God, but the main gift of prophecy primarily, as it says in Revelation, that the testimony of Jesus is the true spirit of prophecy. And we've seen all through the book of Acts, through the first 6-7 chapters, that as they went forth and shared the prophetic divine revelation that had been given to them by the Holy Spirit about Jesus, that God accompanied his word and those prophetic words about Jesus with signs and wonders, and thousands, and up to this point, maybe 10, 20,000 people have been saved and coming to the church. But they focused on what? Those first 6 chapters were all about Jerusalem, because what did Jesus say? Jesus told them, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the first 6 chapters is all about Jerusalem. If you remember in chapter 5, the last time that Peter and John went before the authorities, what did they say? They told them, "You've filled the whole city of Jerusalem with this teaching, with this doctrine of Jesus." So, mission accomplished in Jerusalem. But guess what? The disciples, the apostles, they're comfortable there now in Jerusalem. They're not thinking probably about going outside of Jerusalem. So, God orchestrates and brings persecution after the death of Stephen, the first martyr. And Paul's there. Major persecution comes from the church. So, that's where we're going to start. And we'll see how God not only used prophecy, but how he used visions, especially in the life of Paul and Peter, to spread the gospel outside of Jerusalem. It probably wasn't that they were so comfortable in Jerusalem, but there was a barrier there. There were boundaries. You know, the Jews did not like the Samaritans at all. They couldn't stand them. They wouldn't go near them. You know, they were considered half-breeds, if you know the history of how the Samaritans came about. They were a mix of Jewish and other people. And so the true Jews in Jerusalem, they wouldn't go near the Samaritans. They couldn't stand them. So God knew that he was going to have to kind of give them a little nudge and move them out. And that's what we're going to study today. And he does that through some amazing visions in the life of Peter and Paul. So let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. And Holy Spirit, we're checking out your highlights to see how you moved and how you used especially the abilities that you gave through the outpouring of your spirit to prophesy and to have visions and dreams in order to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to Judea and Samaria and throughout the ends of the earth. So, Holy Spirit, bless us, lead us, guide us. Let us see in these teachings today, in the stories, the book of Acts, how you work. And, Lord, show us how awesome and powerful you are, Holy Spirit, when you lead and guide us. And we give us a hunger so that we will desire more prophetic gifts, and especially the gift to be able to prophesy the divine, awesome revelation of who Jesus Christ is, to teach and comfort and exhort and rebuke others so that they can be saved and come into the kingdom, and even use visions more visions in our life, Lord, to break down. We have some boundaries and barriers in our own life of people that we may not want to go to, but give us visions also, Lord, so that those barriers can be broken, those, and we can cross those boundaries to speak and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone that you want to hear the good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just love, the book of Acts is probably one of my favorite definite books to just study and go over and watch the Holy Spirit as he works and moves in these men and women of God who we know beforehand were cowards and heartless and deniers of Jesus and just always walked in the flesh most of the time. But now they've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and preach the gospel and do signs and wonders and speak for him boldly. They definitely were bold and strong and walking in faith and victory. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to just sing the song. We want to live that. Amen? Amen. So as I said, the main purpose for our study of the book of Acts is to observe the Holy Spirit as he leads, teaches, and empowers the church to enable them to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church that was always in the center of God's perfect will. That's the book of Acts Church. And we're trusting that the Holy Spirit to help us as we look at some of the highlights of his ministry to be able to discern for ourselves where and if Word of Victory Church may need some refining, realigning, in order for us to make any adjustments necessary for us to be the 21st century version of the early church, so that we can truly be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church, always in the center of God's perfect will. So I shared earlier, Jesus told the apostles that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that's exactly what happened, we know, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the rest of the apostles were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2:16, Peter declared, as everybody was asking in Jerusalem, who saw the mighty signs and wonders, who heard them speak in tongues and heard the mighty rushing wind and the sound of the Holy Spirit, they were all asking, what happened? What happened? And that's when Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, transformed, empowered to speak boldly now like never before, tells them in Acts 2:16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servant and maid servants I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Prophesy. As I said, we know it means to predict and to also declare future events that will come forth in the kingdom of God. But prophesy also, the main part is for speaking. When you prophesy, you're speaking. As I have been trying to share, I believe that is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit. One of the main powers and abilities that he gave to us and to the apostles was to be able to speak forth the gospel so that people would be saved. So the word prophecy from Strong's actually means to speak forth, to declare a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. So when we prophesy, when we tell people about Jesus, we're speaking forth that which has been given to us by divine revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's not only to speak forth and declare a thing that's been made known to us by divine revelation, but to teach, refute, reprove, admonish, and comfort others. That's what you do with prophecy. That's what prophecy is. So in chapters 1 through 6, we learn the primary ability given to those who have been filled with the power from the Holy Spirit has been to prophesy. They're able to speak forth, declare the truth that they know about Jesus, which had been given to them and made known to them by revelation through the Holy Spirit. For them to be able to teach, refute, reprove, admonish. We see all those things going on in those chapters. And comfort others. Why? So that they can be saved from sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit also. Most of the Holy Spirit highlights that we've observed up to this point, as I said, have had to do with the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, being accompanied with signs and wonders so that people can be saved from sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. It's all happening in Jerusalem. As I said, Jerusalem has now been filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ through prophecy that was being accompanied with signs and wonders. Many people had been saved in Jerusalem. But the prophecy that Peter explained from Joel also declared that the Holy Spirit would enable your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. So in chapter 8, we're not going to look at Philip today. I hope we get back to him because he's one of my favorite stories and favorite people to see how the Holy Spirit really used him. In chapters 8 through 10, we see how the Holy Spirit now used persecution along with prophecy and visions to spread the good news of Jesus to Samaria, Judea, and then to the ends of the earth. In chapter 8, after Stephen is martyred, great persecution broke out on the Jews. The Jews began to persecute the church in Jerusalem, making them suffer very much. Paul was also trying to destroy the group. He went into their houses and dragged out men and women and put them in jail. All the believers then left Jerusalem. Only the apostles stayed. So the apostles still stay in Jerusalem, but Philip and many of the other believers start going out to spread the gospel, which is what it says. The believers went to different places in Judea and Samaria. They were scattered everywhere, and every place they went, they told people the good news about Jesus. So here you see the Holy Spirit orchestrating this to begin to move the gospel, to basically to fulfill Jesus's prophetic word that I'll give you the Holy Spirit, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So this is just Jesus's prophetic word being fulfilled now. It's already happened. Gospel's been preached. Jerusalem was filled. Now the gospel's going out to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So in chapter 9, we know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and we're all familiar with it, so I'm not going to go into detail about it. Paul sees his vision of Jesus. He gets knocked off his horse. He sees the bright light. He gets radically saved. He goes into town, and he ends up being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he starts preaching Jesus is the Son of God to everyone he meets all over the place. But how did that happen? Only after he only got filled with the Holy Spirit, received his sight and got filled with the Holy Spirit, after he and a man named Ananias see their visions, and they, by faith, obey the Lord. If you read in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, it's really awesome how God, the Holy Spirit, is the source of these visions, and he's the interpreter. The Holy Spirit's always the source of our vision and the interpreter of those visions. We'll see that here. The Holy Spirit is the source of the vision, and he's the interpreter of the vision. Look at what had happened in Acts 9, verses 10 through 12. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said what? Said in a vision. Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to Ananias, arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul, or Paul, of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. So Ananias gets a vision from the Holy Spirit, right? He's told he has to go see Paul, who's praying. But look at what happens at the same time. He's not only praying, the Holy Spirit tells Ananias that he's praying, and he tells him about Paul. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So here we see the fulfillment of visions that were promised through the prophet Joel. We've seen prophecy. We've seen the prophetic word. We've seen them prophesy and tell everybody about Jesus. But now we see this part of the prophecy from Joel about the visions being fulfilled. It's pretty awesome. So Ananias sees a vision. He's told to go see Paul. At the same time, Paul's seeing a vision. telling him that Ananias is going to come and pray for him so he receives his sight. Paul himself tells us how his vision of Jesus and prophesying about Jesus work together. The two work together for the spreading of the gospel. Paul tells us how they work together to spread the gospel. We see that in Acts 26, if you want to turn there. Acts 26, verses 19 through 23. This is Paul. He had shared his testimony already about how Jesus radically saved him with King Agrippa in an awesome vision. So here we see again the prophecy of Joel being fulfilled. But Acts 26, verses 9, starting in verse 19, this is what he says to King Agrippa, and I love this. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And we should never be disobedient to any heavenly vision that the Lord gives us. Amen? "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, all throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to this day I stand," what? "Witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, and that is that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." So there in chapter 9, as I said, that's really Paul's conversion, and it talks about how he went on to spread the gospel. The Jews tried to kill him once, then the Greeks tried to kill him, and then he takes off and goes to Tarsus, I think. But anyhow, in verse 31, it says this in chapter 9. So now the persecution calms down, and this is what it says. I love this. Acts 9, 31. "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified." Persecution stopped for a while now. "And walking in the fear of the Lord and in" what? "The comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but that's a good verse to highlight. How did they walk? In the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So then after that, the narrative in chapter 9 now returns back to Peter. We find him visiting believers in various parts of Judea. There he finds a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. He calls him by name. Peter announces that Jesus the Christ is your healer. Aeneas, it says, immediately arises and carries his bed. Many turn to the Lord as a result of that miracle. Peter then gets called to Joppa to raise a woman who had died. Her name was Dorcas. Remember that story? From the dead. He does exactly what he saw Jesus do when Jesus raised the little girl from the dead. This miracle of resurrection obviously became widely known so that many also believed on the Lord. Then at the end it says, of chapter 9, it says, "So it was that Peter stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner." Now we're going to see two other people that have visions, two other fulfillments of the prophecy of Joel. Acts 10, verses 1 through 5. The first person is Cornelius. Let's read verses 1 through 5. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment." He was one of Pete's guys. "And a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter.'" Awesome, right? So here we have Cornelius having this vision of an angel. The angel says, look, send for Peter. You have to hear the prophetic word that he has for you about Jesus. You have to hear what he has to say. I'm going to drop down to verse 9. Acts 10, verse 9. The next day, as these guys are going on their journey and drew near the city, Peter goes up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him and let down to the earth. I don't know about you all, but I think this is these are such awesome highlights of the Holy Spirit and the way that God moved and all the things that he's used, especially prophecy and visions, to get the gospel spread throughout the ends of the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision, which he saw, meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. It's just amazing. Here, Peter's having a vision. Finally, these guys show up that were sent from Cornelius. Peter's having this vision. He's wondering, what does this mean? What on earth does this vision mean? So now the guys are at the gate, and it says, they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit gives him the interpretation. The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So we know Peter obeys the Holy Spirit. He goes with them. Peter goes to meet Cornelius. Cornelius has invited all his family and friends. They've gathered there to hear the prophetic message that God has for them from Peter. Go to verse 33. This is Cornelius explaining to Peter. Cornelius explains his vision and everything that we already read about to Peter, and this is what he says to Peter in verse 33. I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So here we see the prophecy and visions working together to spread the gospel. It's already gone to Judea and Samaria. Cornelius is one of the first Gentiles that Peter opens up the kingdom, uses the keys that he got from Jesus, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, to now open up the kingdom of heaven for all the Gentiles, so that the gospel can go to the end of the earth. Then Peter did what? Peter opened his mouth and said, how do you prophesy? The only way you can prophesy and share a prophetic word, especially the testimony of Jesus, is to open your mouth and speak, which is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, one of the powers that the Holy Spirit's and ability that the Holy Spirit was sent to give us. Peter says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, preaching he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Peter says, and we were witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on a third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets witness. Through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Hallelujah! For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone forbid that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days with them. So here we see the amazing working of prophecy and vision, the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said would happen when the Holy Spirit was poured out on God's people. Here we see amazing Holy Spirit highlights of how only the Holy Spirit can use prophecy, which is declaring the truth about Jesus, the divine revelation of who Jesus is, signs and wonders and miracles to save people, and combine it, prophecy and visions together to spread the gospel throughout the entire earth. It didn't just happen in the book of Acts. As all of you know, many of you have read about different revivals, different churches, how they started. How did a lot of them start? Many of them started because people had visions. The Holy Spirit gave them visions. Go to this place. Get this pastor. Get this preacher. I want this preacher to preach for you in your town. That's actually what happened in one of Pastor Harvey's favorite revivals, the Hebrides Islands. That's exactly what happened. Those women that were praying, those older ladies that were praying, saw a vision of Duncan Campbell. The Holy Spirit said, "This is the guy I want you to get to come preach at these islands." And you know what happened after that. It was one of the greatest, amazing revivals. The Spirit of God was so strong for days and months. They said that people on ferries outside the islands could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they would just beg the ferry drivers to take them. People, wherever they were, would flock to churches and houses. And how did it start? Because those women were obedient to praying and obedient to the vision that the Holy Spirit gave them, and obedient to the interpretation that the Holy Spirit gave them about the vision. We need more of this today. Amen? Are you hungry for more of this to happen? I want to see it happen right here in Word of Victory Church. Obviously, we want to see it happen throughout the world, the body of Christ, and it still is happening. But I want to be part of it. I want to see more of it happen in our life. Amen? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us with our prophetic gift, especially the prophetic gift of testifying of who Jesus Christ really is, that you would empower us to speak forth and declare the truth about Jesus to all of our family and friends and everyone in our sphere of influence. And Lord, we even make ourselves available that you could send us to the ends of the earth. Here we are, we say, Lord, send us. But Holy Spirit, we want to prophesy more. Empower us. Give us the ability to talk about Jesus, to make known to him, to others, the divine revelation of who he is that you've given us, to speak that forth with your power. Accompany the testimony of Jesus that you give us with signs and wonders, because we want to see people saved from sin, healed, delivered, set free, and we want to see them receive the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit too. Show us visions of what we need to do for you, Lord Jesus, right here in Paoli. We pray that for us personally, for this church, for Word of Victory Church here in Paoli. And we pray it for the body of Christ all throughout the world. Begin to make us more like the book of Acts. We want to be a 21st century version of the book of Acts. We declare it. We still believe it in our hearts. Now we want to see. We want to see the fruit of that. We want to see the manifestation of it. The Word of Victory Church is Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church that's always in the center of your perfect will. Because we are listening to you, Holy Spirit. We are following you. There's no greater place to be. There's nothing more exciting, nothing more powerful and more wonderful. We know that you want to do it in, as I said, in our individual lives, in our sphere of influence. But we want to do something corporately together too, as a body, as a church. So we're here today seeking you, Holy Spirit, and asking you, stir us up, realign us, refine us, make whatever adjustments you need to do. Help us to hear your voice even more, to see those visions and hear what you're saying to us clearer, and to walk by faith and obedience, to be bold and be strong, and to walk in faith and victory for our King Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.